It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
I am Extel. I will be playing an air genasi monk named Typhoon.
Nice.
Awesome.
My name is Steph. I'm going to be playing a fairy boy named Grem. He's a druid rogue.
My name is Logan, and I am playing a Arakakra monk named Shirako, and specifically Way of the Astral Self monk. Excuse me. And then I have one level of barbarian for fun.
My name is Alexis. I am going to be playing a female Goliath artificer whose name is Ermissa Rentworn. She uses very tiny tools with very large hands.
It just seems very inconvenient.
It is. It really annoys her, but also gives her that satisfaction of doing something really hard and then completing it.
Awesome, mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. So your, I guess, travel takes you to this tomb. Over the course, you pass through like a small amount of deserted area, and you get there, and it's a very big building with these, you know, sandstone pillars that climb up really high into the air. And there's a big archway that opens up into the entrance. And sort of looming above it is the statue of what looks like a gold dragon, just kind of hovering above the entire building. And yeah, there's these sandstone steps that go into the archway and open up into what you imagine is a room. I guess, do we have anything we want to do before we enter this place?
Is there anything, like, so we were told the cultists that were here before were all turned to dust, correct?
Yes.
Okay, is there any, like, obvious cultist dust?
Not anywhere in this, like, front area. It's mostly just the entranceway. There's nothing really there.
Okay. Can I try and...
I suppose Shrug.
Can I try and sneak up the steps a little bit? Just maybe hover, because I'm a fairy.
Sure.
And just look around up there. But if anyone wants to do anything else while we're out here, do that first.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll save that and call that part of entering the building. So if anyone else wants to do anything while we're still outside, we'll go from there.
Does it seem like anybody's been out here recently? Are there any footprints or any, like, let's say, like, any signs of people, like, being here recently?
So the travel there is only a few hours long. So you can see that the person that came back clearly left this place. But you don't see, like, pathway in, like, people walking into this place. But you clearly see the person left.
Got it.
Are there any sort of arcane markings, any runes that I might notice as we're walking in here? Anything to give us some sort of sign of the purpose of this place?
Above the archway, if you're looking for it, and because you are looking for it, you see a sigil that's set up above this archway that is a ward against undeath.
Usually a good thing. Feeling slightly lifted by that note, okay?
And this was a sun cult was around here, so maybe they were worshiping a good sun god. That's a possibility.
Let's go with that. I like the idea that we're not walking into, like, horrible death. I'm going to go with yes.
Okay.
I like that sentiment as well. I think it's nice to assume that we'll be okay.
I say we start heading into the temple, since waiting out here won't do a whole lot of good for us.
Okay. Let's do it.
So, I'm going to resolve Steph flying up and looking into there. As you peer through the archway, all you can see is the blinding light of staring directly into the sun. And you can't see anything inside the arcway.
I get up and I like peek in and it blinds me. So I just kind of bounce back and just like, it's really bright. It's really bright, guys. That's it.
Alright. Okay.
Is there, is there like a, what's causing the light? What's making it so bright?
You can see the light is coming above and down through the arc, and you can't really see into the room, but it's clear that the light is coming from above it. But if you're outside looking up, really the only thing there is the sun. It, you know, it's a sunny day. It's not very cloudy. The sky is clear.
Can I, before we go in because it's too bright, I also have wings. So can I fly up to the top of the temple?
Yeah. So as you get up there, you're pretty much 10, 15 feet from this giant gold dragon statue. And you can see there's a sunroof, like a dome sunroof. And it looks like the sun is drawn into it. Just like pulls in the sunlight into this room.
Does it look like there's any... What's pulling it in? Is it like magic? Is there some kind of structure?
Make an arcana check.
I'm not good at those at all. I'm 20th level and I have a +0 in arcana. But I did roll a 16.
With a 16, you can tell that it is some sort of magical effect that is causing the light to be drawn here. It seems like the panels are similar to solar panels in our world. They're lightly reflective material that is drawing in the light. And it sort of just siphons it into this room.
Guys, there's some weird magic going on down here. Or up here, excuse me. It's going to make it real bright in there. And I don't know if stopping it from being bright is a good or a bad thing.
Well, let's find out. And Typhoon begins to walk inside of the building.
As you get to the arcway, you pass through it and you experience a similar sensation where it's like blinding light, and then as you push past that, it shifts and the room is dark and very quiet, and you can see small amounts of light pouring through some of those little panels above you, but it for the most part is very dark in here. The light is only there in the arcway as you push your way past it.
Does this feel like, because I have dark vision, does this feel like magical darkness, or is it?
It's bright enough that you can see, just not really like super dark, I guess. There's enough light through the panels that it's like being in a room where it's daylight outside and the blinds are closed.
Got it.
Amount of light.
I'm going to yell out, just to see if anyone can hear me from outside. I'm going to yell out and say, it's pretty dark in here. It's quite the opposite.
They can hear you.
Well, if it doesn't seem to hurt anything, I guess we should continue on investigating, see what's further in. Just close our eyes as we pass through. Hopefully we don't go blind.
I'll fly down from the top of the temple and go through the arcway.
All right. You get into the building. Steph, are you going in the building with everyone else?
Yeah, I'm gonna walk in. I'm gonna use my wings kind of like as a sun shield.
Okay. So you all get in there, and now that everyone is in the room, you see a simple offering room where people would leave flowers or, you know, items for the members of this tomb. But the flowers are all withered and like dead, and, you know, dust is covering everything, and you can smell like the rot of all the things that have been in here and then are no longer here. But for the most part, it's a pretty simple room. There's, you know, what look like tombstones and places to place things in offering to whoever is entombed here. And then there's another like archway that goes further into the building. And this archway looks like it opens up into a wider room further on. The motion of you coming in the room, you know, ruffles up the dust.
Are there any markings on these offerings or altars or anything that's in here that might give us more of a sense of what this place was about? Like names or even just things that look like language, even if we can't read them.
There are some markings on the tombstones that aren't fully, you know, removed from wear and tear of time. From the markings, it seems like these are all champions of that particular sun god, that these were people that sun god chose to represent them in the world, because they all say, you know, titles like herald or things of that nature. There aren't any names on any of them. Only these titles are written there. And they're different. The ones that you can make out are different titles. And the name of the sun god is etched over, you know, the border of one of the sections. It is Anti-Nanko. If you are aware, well, I guess, the sun god Anti-Nanko is a gold dragon that is reported to have lit the sun with its own fire, and that's how the sun exists. And I guess that gives you the breakdown of what this particular room is meant for.
Well, I would suggest that we perhaps be light-footed and pass without disturbing things in here. Looks to be a place of holy respite and respect for long since dead champions. I suggest to the group that we move on and leave this place largely untouched so as not to offend the resting bones.
I agree, and I was wondering if I could just for safety's sake, could I start moving stealthily? Can I do like a stealth check to see if I can be a little extra quiet?
Yes. Steph is also going to do that.
Okay. Yeah, well, so if you, I rolled a natural one, but I had
a natural 20. 11.
Oh, you're much better at this than I am.
All right. So
I'm just fumbling around. You just told us not to disturb anything in the temple, and I'm just like, it's fine. And I just like trip over something, disturbing a whole bunch of dust all over the statues. My feathers just picking up as much as possible.
He's almost knocked over like 5 different things, but I'm just behind him catching them all and standing everything back up.
All right.
Just canceling it out.
As it was said that not touch anything, Typhoon was like holding a bowl or something. He's like, oh, and he puts it down. He just starts whistling nonchalantly. Like, I didn't do anything. What's that over there? He starts moving towards the door.
Okay.
I'm glad that we have all of the wonderful moments going on.
So luckily the disruptions don't seem to have any particularly ill effect on the room, but I am going to have everyone make a perception check.
Everyone make a perception?
Yes.
That time I got a natural 20 for a total of 31.
Nice.
Wait a second. You're canceling me out. I got a natural 1.
Oh, no.
Oh, how the turntables.
I got a total of 14 here.
I got an 18.
I got a 6.
All right. So, the people who roll above a 15, as you're entering into the next room, you can hear what sounds like a chain ringing from above the room that you were in last time. And, if you look back, a pendulum has fallen through the sunroof into this room and is just destroying the entire room, swinging around, knocking all the pillars down. And then you hear the chain go taut and wrench out of the stone, fly off into the distance.
This is the room we were just in?
Yeah.
Oh, so there's no good way of getting back.
No.
We could always make our own way. My father always told me, if you can't go back the way you came, you go a different way. He's a simple man.
Blissfully unaware of the noise in the background, I continue on, thinking that my day is going perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's nothing else to do but move forward. Even me knowing, oh shoot, there's nothing behind us. What can I do?
Looking around this room, it looks like a sort of like meeting room, like where people would sit down and talk and, you know, not per se hang out, because that's probably not a thing you do at a tomb, but discuss things and go over stuff. There are stone and wooden couch-shaped items amongst the room, and these pillars of like, torches that have like sun-shaped circles at the top of them where the torchlight comes out to light the room. And in the center of the room, the furniture is cleared out, and there's like a circle, like everything was pushed away from this center circle. And in that circle, you can see lying on the ground 6 books. That's what we got.
You said 6 books?
6 books, yeah.
Typhoon will walk over to them very carefully, pick one up.
As you lift the book, ash falls from the pages onto the ground below you into a pile. And then you notice there's smaller piles around each of the books except for one of them.
Maybe we don't. Do you think those are the people?
Either that or they're just really bad at taking care of their books. I mean, how does this even happen?
Well, Sun God, cult, books. Maybe someone read the wrong book. There's one book that doesn't have mess around it, correct?
Yes.
So we can assume maybe our survivor went to that one, read that one, and came out just fine while everyone else was burned alive, or he didn't actually read from this book. I'm not really sure.
Or we open it, we're about to complete the set.
should we read it?
Well,
At this point, Grim is just pacing, but like hovering. So he's just flying like back and forth within like 3 feet, anxiously.
Okay, I'll do it. I want to go to the one book that's doesn't have an ash pile around it, and I want to open it up.
All right. In the book that you're holding, there's journal notes listing various occasions that have happened, and a bunch of names are written in each of these sections. And as you flip through, it appears that the person is trying to find out a particular name. And as you go through, all these different names are written. And the final journal entry, the one you assume it correlates to the scene you're seeing now, doesn't have any names on it.
Hmm.
It only has, the trial has begun.
I relate that back to the party, so everyone kind of knows what I just read. And I'm kind of just scratching my head going, the trial has begun? What is that? I don't know what that means. I don't understand the context.
The trial has begun. That sounds... Now, I don't, feel free to just disagree. It sounds bad.
Not great. I wouldn't say bad, but definitely not great.
I was always terrible at tests.
So we have this room. Are there doors out of this room?
Yeah, I'm very interested in the exit strategy at the moment.
Yeah.
This room goes down into like a narrow hallway, and then there are stairs that go down, but you can't see because the ceiling kind of blocks the vision for down the stairs. You'd have to be at the top of the stairs to look down it. Do we do anything else, I guess, before?
I suppose I am not a good investigator, but could someone else investigate this room?
Sure. I'm going to use my arcane knowledge to examine the few clues that we have in here to see if there's anything that might give us an indication about what a trial is. And also, just out of an abundance of precaution, look behind us.
Okay. So taking a closer look at everything, all of the books that aren't the one that was read are open to roughly the same page, the ones that are still on the ground. And they all have like the smaller pile of ash underneath them. And they're in somewhat of a circle. And they all have a writing utensil in like the lining of the book. But delving deeper into the idea that this is something magical, you notice that the furniture isn't just moved, but it's organized in a specific pattern that surrounds this circle, and that the candles are in specific places, that it seems like they made some sort of circle to do what they were doing. And as far as behind you, there's nothing there. It's mostly just the rubble from the broken apart room blocking that archway.
Wait, whoa, there's a broken apart room? Because I screwed up my perception check earlier, so I'm just discovering that the room behind us is all messed up. When?
Oh yeah, we're trapped.
Everyone, when did that happen?
Well, yeah, just like a minute ago.
Wrecking ball?
I totally knew that happened. I definitely didn't.
It was very loud.
And our one way out of here is stairs down, and this circle-y thing was on purpose.
Well, it seems that, unfortunately, we might be the ones on trial right now.
It's good that, after that. It's good. I have nothing to worry about.
Why do you have nothing to worry about?
I've never done anything wrong. I'm perfect. It's great.
Insight.
All right. Roll insight and roll deception, and we'll see where we go from
there. You're probably going to beat me. I rolled a 7. Two on the die.
11.
Yep. It seems legit. Yeah.
I take a small, like, wound up bit of ivy, and I show the party. Don't worry, I got the escape route. And I don't elaborate, but I make sense to me in my head. Just a fairy holding some wound up ivy. We'll be all right.
You know, I'm not going to ask, but I can see that you have a plan. I'm all for it. Typhoon is going to, he's not going to go down the stairs, but he is going to peek down to see if he can get a better look-see.
You know, in horror films, when they go to look in the basement, it's just really dark, can't really see anything. That's not what you're experiencing, because you have dark vision.
Yeah.
You look down the stairs, and at the bottom of the stairs, it's a flat clearing. And along the stairs, there's just a wall that goes down. And the room beyond it looks well lit, but you can't see into the room. Again, the roof obscures vision. It looks like a normal room that's well lit, and that there's solid ground down there, at least.
I mean, it seems fine. Pretty well lit down there, too.
I'm going to go with, seems like our only choice. So, stealth?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Stealth it.
Which I'm definitely good at.
I will try better this time.
Got an 11. Going great.
I got a 20 this time. That's much better.
You guys? 6.
I think we're all in order going down, descending these stairs. And I think, as we're all sneaking along down the stairs, the repeated pressure on the steps creates a small amount of squeaking. And as everyone goes, the final person creates a large amount of squeaking in the boards. Really loud and sort of loose, but doesn't give. But you all make it down the stairs, and you're on the clearing, and it's pretty quiet. And in the room, there's what looks like a living room arrangement with, one of those sun-shaped torch lights in the center of it. And nothing seems to be disturbed by the fact that you made noise. It's really, really quiet, and everything's, calm and seems pretty normal down here. As if, like, this is, a living space for a person who maybe tended to this before.
And there's a big old flame in the center, right?
Yeah.
But there's furniture, you said, like a living room arrangement?
Yeah.
Maybe the trial was a trial for the furniture. The trial begins. Maybe this is like take it home and see if you like it.
Shrako does not look amused.
A free trial, you say?
Yeah, like exactly.
Typhoon's going to take a look at the walls in here. Are there any, like, markings?
Nothing on the walls that are, like, marking-wise. Upon your skin, you do find a picture of a person.
Wait, upon your skin, did you say?
On my skin?
No, scanning. Sorry. My bad.
I was like, yo, when it's
like, scanning the walls. upon scanning the walls, you find, like, a picture of a person. It's an older gentleman who is wearing these, you know, circular glasses. And, it's just a picture of a guy. Doesn't have a name or a date or anything attached to it. But you can see that the picture is laid out in a way that it's staring at the light in the center of the room.
Can I cast detect magic on the picture? Or just, like, cast detect magic for the room?
Yeah.
I don't trust this gentleman in glasses. All right, got 10 minutes. What do I say?
There is no magic in the picture, but you do ping that the light is magical. And I guess there it clicks in your head altogether. In that second noticing that it's magical, you're thinking, how did these lights stay lit? There's no one's been in here and everything's... And you're like, magic. That's it.
Magic.
What is everyone else doing?
I'd like to examine the portrait that's on the walls. I want to take a closer look at it, see if there's any distinguishing signs or characteristics that might give me an idea about its history, who this person is. So I guess I'm making like a history check on this to see if there's anything I recognize or might help us.
Okay. I'm going to start with a question.
Mm-hmm.
And then resolve it from there. Do you feel like you met with the person who reported the cult name before leaving town?
Oh, probably. Yeah, I probably would have done that. Gotten the firsthand account, so to speak.
Okay. The person in the picture is that person.
Ooh.
Ah.
Do you relay to everyone that the person in the picture is the person you met?
Yeah, I asked the group, everyone. Did anyone else meet with the person who alerted us to the activities here?
Nope. I just kind of came here.
I was offered money, and that's why I'm here. But I don't remember who gave me the offer.
Because this portrait on the wall, I'm sort of inferring as a player here that it's a little creepy. That's the guy that told us about this. I'm beginning to feel like we've been set up.
You're telling me we've been had, that this is a ruse, that we're going to die or something like that?
Well, you know how an anglerfish uses a bright lure to attract its prey, and then it consumes it with its giant mouth? I think the lure was magic items and gold, and we're in the giant mouth right now.
Oh, no.
I'm not a fan of that. Not a fan of that at all. So in that analogy, how does the fish get out of the anglerfish's mouth?
Well, usually they don't. But on the upside, most fish don't have powerful magic items and abilities.
That's fair. Yeah, most fish don't have those. Well, I suppose you'll have to forgive me. This is me just talking over a table here. I lost audio for a bit. Is there anything besides this creepy old man is the one that put us on this wild goose chase that was discovered?
The light thing in the center of the room is emanating some form of magic that it's lit via magic.
Fun. Is there any other way out of this room? You said it was kind of like a living space, but is there now that we're down here, is there another location we can go? Or are we going to start feeling up the walls until we find the secret, lever?
There isn't anything in this room. There's not an exit to this room. This seems like a enclosed room you come into and that then you leave via the same stairs you came in.
I'm going to...
There isn't really a
take a
exit to this room.
I'm going to take a stab in the dark here. Is there anything behind this portrait?
No. On the back of the portrait, there is a name.
Oh, how terrible. What's the name?
Telbris.
Does that name ring a bell to me or like anyone in the party?
Make an arcana check.
Oh, I'm good at those. 23.
With the 23, you recognize the name as something to do with arcane magic, that it exists somewhere in the study of arcane magic, but you can't place exactly where it goes.
All right.
Logan.
Yes.
As you hear this name, the flood of recollection of all the names listed throughout the book that you read comes back to you. And all of those names are this name with a different letter replaced.
I'm ruminating on that, trying to like figure out if is it as simple as to get out of here to change a letter. And I look at the party and I go, does anyone else see the connection here? And I kind of point out the name that we just found is just a variation in whatever's in this book. Does anyone else think it's that simple?
Maybe. I'm not that smart, so I'll go with your judgment on that.
Okay. Anyone else?
It could be. I mean, if you read this name with just slight alterations to it, it would seem that it has something to do with this entire construct we found ourselves in. But what do we do with it? Is there anything that we can write on in here? Is there any sort of book or paper, much less a writing implement?
I mean, I have chalk, so assuming that these walls are stone, my chalk could work on the stone. But so I suppose I'll take the book and I'll scan all the names. And I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know what anything is going to work. We're in a room that's a puzzle, and puzzles are meant to be hard. So I go up to the wall, just a blank wall, and I start writing out a variation of the name that I have not seen in the book, like a new variation of the name, just changing one of the letters around. Does anything happen towards the magic in the room or anything at all in this room?
Not in this room, but from the stairs above, you can hear what sounds like the fluttering of pages and a book closing.
I did something. I don't know what, but I did something.
Should we go check and see what it is? I'll go.
I'm cool with that. That sounds like a plan to me.
All right. Onward and upward, I believe. I don't know. And then Typhoon continues to walk back up the stairs and checks the book.
So one of the four remaining books on the ground is closed. The other three are still open.
Ooh, do it again, do it again.
There's one of them closed. Do maybe try once more that writing thing.
And I guess I had never said I was moving, so I guess I'll say I stayed down there and I'll do it. I'll start writing another variation of the name on the wall.
Another book closes.
Whoa.
It's working.
How are you doing that?
I don't know. It just happens. And I'll continue to do that. I think there's two more books, right? So
yeah.
I'll do it two more times, one right after another.
Same thing happens. The books close. And then the book that you have flutters into the air up the stairs.
It's gone. It's going. It's gone. Guys, do you see the book?
Oh, that's new.
I imagine Typhoon is right at the top of the stairs as the book comes like barreling past him, barely dodges out of the way.
The book is floating there in the center of this circle of books, and the ash piles start to swirl, and the book opens, and the ash begins writing the name Telbris, and then the book falls.
I'm not like a scientist or anything, but is it supposed to, you all might want to get back up here. There's some stuff happening.
I'll go up the stairs to go and see all the craziness that's happening.
I'll follow now, having seen a book flutter up the stairs. My curiosity's piqued, although my slight arrogance as a well-known inventor and artificer, I'm starting to go, well, these seem to be a bunch of cheap tricks. Making a book flutter up the stairs and write something is hardly impressive.
Yes. Yeah, so as everyone gets to the top of the stairs, you can see that the furniture that's organized was making a symbol of some sort. And when the book hit the ground, shifted the furniture ever so slightly. And from the book, you hear a voice. The voice at first doesn't sound like anything you understand. But then slowly you look around, see other people who are assembled here disappear. You are alone in the room looking at the book. The book is speaking to you, and it says, "Long ago, I forgot my name. You have given it back to me. I give you only the blessing of survival. But first, you must write your secret onto my pages." What does everyone do?
Does it have to be a secret? Can it be an IOU or something?
To this, a quill floats toward you, and the voice just whispers, "Secrets."
I'm going to write, "This isn't my natural hair color," and see if it'll take a small secret.
As you're writing, it's not appearing on the page. And it looks like, you know, when you run out of ink, you know, like etching like a line into the paper, the ink isn't going. Looks like that, but then that's gone.
Does the book have anything to say about it?
No.
I call out for my other party companions, which I'm right in thinking that I can't see them anymore, correct?
Yes.
I call out for them to see if anyone can hear me. Anyone? Is anyone out there right now? Listening to me and my secrets?
They can't hear.
No response. Book of secrets. I can write a few secrets in. And I begin to write down several unimportant but still impressive tricks of how I make certain inventions of mine work that I've never told anyone. What happens?
This actually begins writing in the book. But as it's writing, it's asking questions. Why? How? It's pressing you to go and explain why you do these things.
Being a bit of a vain individual, I begin to write back in an almost like magazine interview style and start talking about my life and ambitions and how the arcane and mixing it with technology always intrigued me, and giving it all sorts of backstory and concepts and things without going into very boring detail, trying to keep it light. What happens?
The book doesn't accept any of the writing past the original writing, and it sort of looks like you're pressing that writing into the paper and it's making an indent. But as you go to the next line, that line disappears and it doesn't actually write on the book.
My character is starting to get quite nervous at this point, feeling flustered.
I would like to try and write my own secret in the book, see if that will appease it more.
All right.
So I take the book and the pen, and I start jotting down my own secret, which is that many years ago, Shroko was a bandit lord out in the desert where he slaughtered and killed hundreds of travelers on the desert roads until a group of adventurers destroyed his camp and all his men, and through the sure act of mercy spared his life, and he was willing to serve these adventurers and right the wrongs that he has done in the world. And he's writing this real, like, has the book close to his chest as he's writing these little secrets down, because he's very ashamed of it. I suppose if anyone wanted to spy over my shoulder, they'd be able to see it, because I'm writing is probably too much details for what the book wants, because I'm like fixated on this fact of my life.
All of this writing appears on the page, and the page tears from the book and slowly flutters to the ground.
I mean, I'm going to instinctively reach for that page so it doesn't, I don't want anyone to see it, I guess.
As you grab the page, you're back in the room you were in, and you can see everyone else stuck in some sort of trance looking at this floating book.
Oh, this is not good. This is not good. Do I have the book still in my hand?
No.
Oh, it's not longer there. I am just the one that's out of the trance.
Yeah.
Fun.
Okay. All right. I'll do it just this once, but you have to promise you nobody else will know this, okay? Because it's very important for my life, okay? All right. And Typhoon begins to write down, "I was once a part of a crime syndicate. Nothing crazy. We just, you know, controlled an entire city. Crime, drug ring, all that stuff. And I may or may not have sold them out to the police for, you know, the chance at a better life. And now they are hunting me, and I have to change my name everywhere I go so they don't find me. My real name is John. Let me write that down.
Again, the same thing occurs. The page tears, flutters slowly to the ground.
Hey. Why is everybody stuck like this?
I'm gonna just write a little bit and just, I'm not who I say I am, and see if it accepts that.
It does. It says, who are you?
All right, back. I'm not sure.
To this, interestingly enough, one of your magic items goes, and you see everything around you disappear. You're in a room with two people, and they look at you as if they recognize you. What do you do?
Do I recognize them? I'm going to draw one of my daggers from my belt and just kind of hold it up and say, who are you?
That echoes in the room. They don't say
it. I'm going to yell it again.
Louder still, ringing back. And then a familiar voice calls from somewhere else. One you know as the god of nature. A voice says to you, how can they tell you who they are when you don't know who you are? And then you appear back in the room, and you see the page fluttering to the ground.
I'm going to pick it up.
You're back in the room.
So it's only one of us is left in our trance?
Yeah.
Well, this has been going on.
Am I holding the paper still? Do I still have it?
Yeah.
Tuck it away. Well, all of that has been going on. I have been continuing to try and answer the book's question and dancing around what I have this gnawing certainty it's trying to get at. I'm throwing answers at it about to help humanity and to advance scientific research and further the quality of life for everyone. And I do these things for everyone else, and don't get a big ego. Yeah. What does the book do?
The book continued asking you questions as you went along, but at some point it stopped. And then the book asked, do you know the truth?
I write down, yes. I continue writing.
The page starts to tear. And before it tears free, the words, don't forget it, are written in your hand.
Ooh.
As if you had written it. And the page flutters.
I'll grab the sheet as it flutters and fold it neatly and place it in a pocket close to my chest.
And you're back in the room with everyone else. And then the book closes and a beam of light opens an archway in the room that wasn't there on a far wall. Through the archway, you can see the city that you came from burning.
Like on fire?
Yeah.
As soon as I recognize it, my eyes go wide. I'm like, "Oh shit, we gotta go."
I agree. Let's do this. Why is that happening?
I don't know. My arm and stop them from moving forward. Cautionary, like, wait. This might be a trick. I want to make an Arcana check to see if this is illusion magic or something else.
Okay.
Dirty 20.
Your understanding of magic tells you that this is in fact a portal. That city.
Good news and bad news, everyone. The good news is that this is not illusion. That's a real portal out of here. That's the good. The bad news is that everything's still on fire, and that it's also really on fire.
Well, I now that we like have agreed upon the fire, Scirocco like just whips his wings out from behind him, and he dashes forward because I have 70 feet of movement, so I want to use it, and I'm going into the city.
All right. What is everybody else doing?
Typhoon is actually kind of doing the same thing. You see these dragon-like wings appear from his back, and he also dashes forward. He has 75 feet of movement. I'm going to use every bit. I'm going to dash and double it and try to get there as fast as possible.
How dare you have exactly 5 more feet of movement than me?
You know, it was the mobile feet. I would have had 65.
The mobile feet is how I have 70.
Yeah, it works. It works out. But you have better wings than me because yours are forever and mine are just temporary.
All right.
I'll dive through the portal and start charging at it.
All right. And step.
Yeah. Seeing all my friends go through, just kind of look around the room one last time and kind of hold my breath, close my eyes, and run forward.
As you get through the portal, you see a gold dragon that looks exactly the same as the one that the statue above this building you are in, on the ground, shooting fire upwards towards the sky. And as your gaze follows it, you see a dragon with prismatic scales floating above the city, shooting fire back down it. And you can tell that the destruction is stemmed from this fight between these two dragons.
I will say, if we are appearing in the air, it's going to be a problem because these wings only last for it to the end of my turn. So
you're a monk. You have slow fall. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Also, I got feather fall, which I love because of the new multiverse book that came out. They redid Air Genasi. It gave them feather fall, which is nice.
Oh, so you just have that. That's better than slow fall.
Yeah, just once per long rest. But I mean, that's enough, at least for this time around.
Yeah, feather fall, you can get away with doing a superhero landing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Hey, you just put an idea in my mind. It's gonna happen.
Glad I can help.
Everyone's gonna just gonna land like Deadpool and just be like, yo, why are you guys fighting in our neighborhood?
If anyone wants to plug anything or say anything, this would be the opportune time.
Well, I'll just say, if anyone's listening and they want to find me, I'm on Twitter at Logan the DM. That's about the only place I really have any footprint, so you can find me there.
If anyone's looking for more content from me and my close friends and family, we all work together to make the channel Dice and Dungeons. You can find us on basically any social media platform except LinkedIn. We're not on LinkedIn. Using Dice, the letter N, Dungeons on Instagram and Facebook and on Twitch, and Dice and Dungeons on Twitter.
I mean, if anyone wants to find me anywhere, I'm Extro the King at Extro the King on Twitter. I'm in a podcast and a stream, Travels of the Multiverse is the podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Travel Multipod, at Trav Multipod, sorry. And I'm also on a stream for Talking XP called Ravenloft's Misfits. Every Monday, 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's a great time.
All right. I think that's it, everyone. So where we last left off, everyone was in the tomb to the champions of the sun god. And you found your way out of there through a portal back into a town now on fire, with two dragons fighting near the center of it. So exiting the portal, it's a steep drop. You're not on flat ground. So yeah, you're plummeting into the city from above it.
Well, Rocco is an Aarakocra, so I just start flying.
I am a fairy. I fly down.
I look at, I'm like, give me a second. And you see as Typhoon pulls out like a feather from his bag and he just smashes in his hands, and he's like, all right, going down slowly. And then he casts Featherfall on anyone who cannot fly, and himself.
Well, that would be me, so I appreciate you helping me not die.
No problem.
Nice. So you all safely land on the ground, and ahead of you, quite a ways away, is this giant dragon fight in the center of town. So are we just moving directly towards that? Do we want to put any focus on, like, people leaving from being destroyed with dragons? Where do we want to go?
My instinct is to assess the most dangerous threat, which to me seems like a dragon. I don't know about everyone else.
Yeah, I'm going to turn to the party and just say, dragon? Kill the dragon? Kill the dragon.
I think that's a good idea. Let's go with kill the dragon.
All right. I, too, want to kill the dragon.
As you're heading that way, people are obviously fleeing and getting out of the town as quickly as they possibly can. In the immediate vicinity of the dragons, buildings are crumbling and destruction is all over the place over there. As you get even closer still, there's an eruption from the ground around where the dragons are, and these long vines that look like roots from a tree wrap around them, and you start seeing more of these vines wrapping around and going around until it encompasses them all the way. And a person is standing in the road. Def, your character recognizes them as Ilari, the god of nature.
That's my parent.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna... Can I... How far are they from me?
Dragons? At least 120 feet.
About. And the person?
60 feet from him, so you're...
I'm gonna go straight to my parent.
All right. As you're heading in that direction, he turns from looking at all the vines and looks back and says, "This fight can't happen here." And everything around you just starts to wobble and wave. And instead of buildings, there are trees. And there's a force just coming out of nowhere. The ground is becoming, you know, dirt and grass. Ilari looks at you and says, "It's a shame it had to be at home." He turns back to the dragons and disappears in like a mist of leaves.
Did we just die? Is that... What's going on?
I don't know. I've never seen anything like that. I don't like it.
Do I recognize where we're at?
Yes. You're in Ilari's home. His home is a giant forest. He essentially is what is considered in normal D&D lore as a court elf. This is his domain. So essentially it's separated from normal world, and essentially he plane shifted everyone to there.
Okay.
This unfortunately encompasses the people who did not escape the city. They're also there and randomly in a forest. He just took the whole around that area and just plane shifted everyone. You are among his domain, and you've been there once or twice in all of your time. Normally, Ilari would come to you wherever you were in the normal world. You really weren't in this place. But this is where your fairies and those creatures come from in this world. You have fine covered dragons. The god of nature was there and is not there.
Okay. The dragons, like, grappled by the vines?
It looks like. You can only see, like, a dome around them of vines. You can't really see either one of them. But they're still up ahead.
Are they still in the air?
The dome of vines goes up pretty high, so they could very well be flying in there.
Okay. So what do we do? Do we attack the big ball of vines, or do we wait and see if one of them comes out?
Well, I'm slightly reluctant. We just got plane shifted by a god. I'm a little concerned about why we're here, and what did they mean when they said... It's a shame this had to happen at home. Has anyone got a clue what's happening?
It's okay. It's okay. That was my dad.
Your dad is a god?
That was my dad. He's cool. I think we're here.
Don't worry. He's cool, guys.
Don't worry, guys. He's cool. I swear. He's cool. It's really cool. I think he wanted to protect the city. Speaking of protecting, while those dragons are in those big balls of vines, we should probably get the other people away until they start to break through. And then I think we deal with the dragons and we go back to the killing the dragons plan. But maybe hide the people, then kill the dragons.
Is it safe for them to run in any direction? Like, if they go over there, are they going to be, like, trapped in some, like, nature trap thing? Because this is, like, a god's domain. I don't know how god stuff works. Like, is it okay? We put them over there in the trees.
Do I know?
Do we need to take our shoes off inside here? Or?
Oh, shoot. Oh, no. I don't have shoes. Is that an offensive?
It's just, like, magical outside. It's just, like, really good outside. Okay. Top tier outside. Treat it like outside.
Got it.
Oh. Yeah, I gotta use the bathroom over there. I'll be right back.
No, wait, no.
Don't be at my dad's house.
No, okay. You're right. Not
the time. Favorite tree.
Said treat it like outside. So, like, you know, I'm very, like, there's a lot of stuff going on. Like, okay, save people. Got it. And you see Typhoon runs off and starts getting the people and pushing them towards the edge of the forest, I guess. And he's trying to, like, be like, go over there. There's dragons about.
Okay. So. Well, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I would probably, as soon as, like, Typhoon goes out, I'm like, okay, Well, might as well. And I start trying to grab people and collect them away from the dragon.
I'm going to rule, I guess, the saving of people is, we'll count it as a skill challenge, but I'll give you the extra benefit of if you want to expend a spell, any spell that's not a cantrip that has a spell slot, to do something that you automatically succeed at your skill challenge. So you can use any skill, and if you roll a, we'll set the DC here pretty low, you roll a 10 or higher, you succeed at saving the groups of people that you're saving.
Any skill?
Any skill.
Like I could roll in nature?
Yes, and but you'd have to explain how you use this is the only caveat. So yeah, if everyone wants to go around and do that, we could also roll initiative and set that in motion so that we stay there in that pattern so everyone knows when everyone goes.
Yeah, let's start with the initiative.
Hot garbage. That's what I rolled. Plus 5 to initiative, and I only have a 9.
I got really cold garbage. The opposite. I got a 23.
And 18.
Ermissa got a 22.
All right. So it looks like Steph, you go first.
Okay. I'm going to make a nature check because I know this place. I've been here once or twice, but I am familiar with nature in general. I'm going to try and find an area I know that is secluded, maybe some really strong trees that, like, you know, that could withstand a blast or two, and try and herd people towards that area of the forest. And that is a 19.
Yeah, you get those people over there as quickly as possible. You've seen these trees before. In this plane, periodically there are tempests that go through and, like, ravage their way through the forest. These trees have been there as long as you've known this place exists. So you gather those people in that place, and then you say, you know, these trees have been here so long, it should keep you safe.
Just stay here. Just hide behind the trees. They'll keep you safe. And I use my druidcraft just and grow, like, a little flower and, like, try and hand little flowers to the kids if they're, like, scared little kids.
Nice.
So there's still people that need to be herded to safety, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Seeing where my companion has already directed some people, I use my magical tinkering to quickly create a bright visual sign that says, the townspeople hide over there, with an arrow pointing towards the tree, and throw it up in the air so that they can see it. It's about 15 feet high, and it should be sitting there static, flashing for about 20 seconds.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you also succeed at getting people to get over there to that place in the trees. There is periodically a person who stops and looks at the light like, that's kind of cool. And then, you know, they're herded along with the rest of the other people. And we saved some more people. Awesome.
So Typhoon is kind of in the back as he started ushering people towards the area that we're moving people towards. And yeah, I'm going to use athletics. I rolled a 23. And how I'm going to do that is, like, anybody who's, like, kind of slow or is, like, struggling to move, I'm just going to pick them up and throw them on my shoulder and just, like, run them over there and then go back and then do the same thing.
Nice. You get a lot of people over there. There is a lot of just sheer confusion. And so some of the people that you pick up are thinking they're heading in the correct direction, but they're just, like, you know, frazzled by everything. And so you stop and pick up a few people that are, you know, off the path, that aren't seeing the sign, and you drag them on over there.
I got you, old timer. Come on. Hurry up. Where are you going? Dragons.
Well, I'm also going to use athletics. That is a 27.
All right.
So I think I do it. I'm kind of falling behind Typhoon, just, like, picking up anyone else that he's missing so we can kind of collectively as a group move everyone to the right spot. So we're just, we're acting like a bunch of meatheads, even though we're monks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Couple of jacks.
Yeah. So you all together successfully gather everyone into this space between the trees. And you hear a faint whisper on the wind. Couldn't really make out what it would say, but it sounds like the wind is whispering something. And then the trees branches begin to, like, loom down in, like, a dome shape over the area where they are, and they kind of latch into the ground. And one of the trees, their branches kind of branch out outward, and you can see what looks like the making of a tree ant starting to form out of those branches and opening up into a full-sized tree. And it stands guard in front of this space. And does anyone speak the language of trees?
I don't.
Thanks.
Can I just give like a nod towards the ant?
Yeah. The tree ant mutters a noise that sort of sounds like the like crackling of bark, you know, when you like touch a tree, like that noise it makes, but it's like vibrating in the air. And you imagine it saying something to you, but no one understands what it means. And it responds to the nod with a nod. And all the people from the town that are trapped here are safe.
It's another very spiritual moment right there.
Save people, kill dragons.
Sounds like pure work, and that's what we are. So far, so good.
Yes, we are heroes, aren't we?
Say again?
We are heroes, aren't we?
I mean, that's what I keep telling myself. Dragon?
Dragon.
How are we getting there? That is a good question. What is the plan?
Have the dragons broken through their vine enclosure?
No. There's lots of, like, movement, I guess, as far as the forest, wind, and type of thing, but nothing as far as, like, the growth of vines. Pretty just still there.
I don't want to let them out. They're already contained.
We could let them take each other out for a bit, and then we go in and take sweep whatever's left, you know?
Yeah. You know, that's a solid plan, and it'll look like we really were heroes, and we saved everybody. I'm down with this.
So I guess, is there like a place that we can hide out and wait to see what happens? Like, is there a tree that's close enough that we can get behind and still see what's happening? I'm assuming, because it's a magic forest.
Yeah. You probably have something close by that you could hang out by. How close do you want to get? Yes.
I don't know what is safe, but as safe as possible, but also close as possible.
I want to shoot for about 60 feet away.
Okay.
That works.
I could try and hide myself, and then I'd like to think I want a ready moonbeam. Just as soon as one of them like starts to break through, I can just.
Okay.
Can I attempt to hide behind a tree?
Yeah.
Roll for my stealth here. That's a natural 20 for a total of 37.
That's a lot of high.
Invisible.
You just disappeared. You no longer exist.
I'm actually on the other plane again. Cool. So I'm just going to hold that until I see. Okay. Right there.
All right. Anything else anyone else wants to do?
I will fly up 70 feet in the air and probably get within 50 feet of it, of the massive vines.
Okay.
I can't really hide while flying, but maybe they just won't notice me because I'm just a bird man and they're big dragons.
Yeah.
That seems natural.
Yeah.
We fly.
Yeah. Okay.
Typhoon also gets within 60 feet and I imagine he's like, so does it, like, your dad's a god, does that make you a dip? Oh, where'd you go? Okay. All right. And he's just standing there like with his fists up. Everybody's doing cool stuff.
Ermis is going to run forward with her companions and remind everyone, well, as you all start to get beat to shit by the dragon, I'll try to keep you alive as best I can.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to, like, sneak over to her and just, like, I know she can't see me, but just say, like, appreciate it.
Yeah.
Just kind of spook her.
I just yell from above, thanks.
You're welcome.
What?
What is she selling?
What is she buying? So yeah, let's just hunker down and see what happens.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
All right. The vine mass is now starting to look like it's expanding. Yeah, there's a lot of, like, expansion of it. Like, the vines are being stretched from within. You can't really peer anything into it, but, like, this, like, ominously bright light through some cracks in it that look very, like, sun-esque. And he continues grow and get bigger. And then, Logan, I'm going to have you make a dexterity saving throw.
It's a dex save?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. That is a 17.
So from below you, near the base of this like vine mass, you see that same pendulum that you saw destroy the building in the temple. You see it fly up from the ground and shoot into the air towards you. And it just barely sails by you. You hear the chain ringing through the air, and then it's gone again. So yeah, you see that happen from the base of the tree.
Is there like a giant hole where it came from now?
No. There's a person there. Yeah, the person is looking up at you. Yeah, the chain doesn't like come back to them. It just dissipates. And they sort of look up and shake their head and then look forward into the forest. Then now we'll go back into good old fun initiative order. So, Steph, what are we doing?
Did anyone else see that person?
I mean, if you're looking at the base of the tree, you can see him. He's standing there plainly. He's not hiding.
Do I recognize this person?
Nope. Yeah, not at all. You do, if you saw the pendulum thing, you recognize that in the other room that destroyed the room, the pendulum thing, and the chain. You recognize that thing if you were, I guess, looking. You'd have to be looking up.
I don't think I was.
So if you're looking at the base of the tree, or at the tree, you'd probably only see him there, down at the base of the tree.
I would probably assume this is another person that we missed, so I'm gonna, like, yell out to them, "That way! You're safe over there! Like, get the trees!" Did they hear me? Did they register that?
So, this person, you know, walks forward off, like, the base of the tree onto the flat ground that you're on, and looks almost directly in your direction and says, "I have no reason to hide."
Can we all hear that?
Yeah. Yeah, all of you are within the space. And, yeah. Unless you all took, like, positions around the tree, you're not all in the same direction looking at the tree.
I'm still thinking this is a dumb human, so I'm going to say, no, there are dragons in there. Get behind the trees. They're going to break out any second now.
He throws his pendulum at you in your direction. You just see it appear out of thin air, and it just flies towards the tree. And he's going to throw it and, like, you know, loop it around the tree where your voice is coming from and hit the tree. And it just disappears. But as it's disappearing, you can hear, like, the chains waving, the ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, and then it's gone. Yeah, he just looks in your direction, like, confused at what you're doing. Who is, I guess, do you want to do anything else before next person goes?
I was going to say I kind of look confused at my friends, but I'm very well hidden. I don't think my friends know where I am.
Okay.
Just kind of stare. I'm very confused.
Okay, and it will be the next person.
I think I was next in the initiative order. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got this new guy hanging out by the tree behind us, doing really weird stuff.
He threw something at me.
And I'm guessing I could probably see that it was a pendulum that he was tossing around. Hey, gang. Anyone got any idea what this is all about?
I'm going to go punch him.
I'm choosing to ignore it.
I'm going to go well, not punch. I have claws. I have catch talons, excuse me. So.
And I turn into a fist and punch him with.
I'm going to go with...
Punch.
You know, the easiest explanation here is that that's a really dumb villager. It happens. People are stupid. So I'm just going to go back to focusing on the thing that's, you know, causing death and destruction and chaos, the dragon, and give it a little something to think about. I am going to cast Cloud Kill and concentrate Cloud Kill like on the dragon's face, basically. And it is a 19 constitution save.
Oh, right.
Heck yeah, it is.
Yeah, they failed to save. Yeah.
Okay, then they now take 5d8 damage. They take 27 damage from that, and that cloud is now sitting there.
Look at that. That's cool.
And it also heavily obscures the area, so until it moves its head, it has to, like, move to see anything. And I think that's all I'm going to do for now. That is a concentration spell, so I'm just holding it.
Typhoon.
Gosh, why are people dumb? And then I stride over to the person. I go within about 20 feet of whoever this is. And I'm like, yo, what are you doing? What's happening? Why did you throw that thing? Like, why are you acting like dragons aren't, like, a thing for you? Leave, maybe, please.
He takes those words and is considering them in what looks like a form of confusion. He doesn't understand why you're saying this to him. And then an arrow hits him in the shoulder.
Oh, my God.
You feel it past you. Kind of whizzes in right past you and hits him. And then I'm going to have you make a dex save.
All righty. Fun times. That is a 26.
So you take the darn half damage. You take 16 fire damage as the arrow hits and explodes into, like, fire. But you see that the fire doesn't emanate from the arrow, but from him. And, like, as soon as it hits him, the fire lashes out. Yeah, so you take 16 points of fire damage as an arrow hits him and explodes.
Did I succeed the save?
Yes, you did.
Okay, could I have evasion?
You have evasion, so you don't take any damage. All right, nice. You take 0 damage, but fire is there. Right.
And I just go, what the f-? Can I tell where that came from?
Directly, like, behind you. If you were to try to track it back, it would be, like, directly behind you. So whoever shot it intentionally missed you to hit.
I'm a punch. Walk up to him, we'll punch him. I'm like, okay, you must be an enemy. I'm gonna take an attack. That is a 20 to hit.
That hits. Before we do that, once you get within 10 feet, so you feel this, like, beating sun, like, burning down on you. And there isn't a beating sun in the sky as you get into this space. But you succeed at hitting him. Go ahead and roll the damage for that.
Alrighty. I'm going to hit because I am an ascended dragon. I can change the damage type to acid, the cold fire lightning. So I'm going to change it to lightning damage. That's 9 points of lightning damage.
Alright. Yeah, you hit him. He takes the hit. Looks like a person who's been hit.
I'm going to attack one more because I have extra attack, and it's 22 to hit.
Yeah, that hits also.
And then another 8 points of lightning damage.
All right. That hits and does the damage.
And that'll be it for my turn. So I'm just like, ow, 1, 2, and then, yeah.
Okay. Then we move on to the next person.
That should be me. I will, having just been attacked and seeing my friends attacked, I will rush to this guy using all of my... I don't think I have to use all of my movement, but I have 70 feet of movement, so I think I can get to this guy.
Yeah.
And as I come in closer... Let's see. I will summon my astral self.
Okay.
That's a bonus action for me, and that cost me... How many key points? I think it's just... Oh, it's the same as just doing the astral arms. So sweet, that's just 1 key point? Cool. So as I do that, he's within 10 feet. Can he do a dex save for me?
Yeah.
A burst of astral energies flow from me outwards, and it's trying to hurt this guy.
It's a dirty 20.
Okay, well, he saves. Yeah, okay. But that's just my movement and my bonus action. I am now engulfed in this, like, golden light and energy. A mask is covering my face, and I have 2 glowing arms floating off my body. And, I mean, I guess the logical thing here would be to attack, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't 1 key point. I found it. That was 5 key points. That's good to keep track of. Let's have the right amount of key points out, huh?
I still have 14. It's not a big deal. But what I will do is roll to attack. Why did I roll a 4? That's hot garbage. I'm guessing a 15 doesn't hit.
No, it does not.
Okay, I have extra attack. That was even worse. This die goes to jail. That was a 2 I rolled, by the way. Yeah. Apparently, I can't roll above a 10. I should mention, I do get an extra... I get 3 attacks when I'm in this form. It's one of the benefits of the awakened self. What does they call it? Oh, I get a bonus +2 to my armor, and I get 3 attacks if they're all with my astral arms, which I will do. Okay, this time it was an 18.
That hits.
Finally, so 3 attacks and only 1 hit. That's just how D&D works, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That's true. The rules as written say that you lose.
Yes, basically. So one of my arms, like 2 misses, left hook, a right hook, and then finally I get like an uppercut, but it only does 7 force damage.
All right. He again looks like, you know, person who has been hit. He's standing his ground pretty fairly, but it looks like you've affected him by hitting him.
Okay. Well, that's my turn.
All right. That brings us back around to Steph.
How are the dragons looking?
So you can see, because the thing expanded, you can see them in there, sort of. You can see them in this, like, bright light pulsing out of it. That's pretty much it. You can see them in there, and the bright light's pulsing. It's like a bright, like, sunbeamy light. They don't look like they're breaking out of, like, they're just in there.
Okay. Then I want to shift my focus to this stranger that apparently we're attacking. How far is he from the dragons?
He is right at the base of the, like, vines. He's right there. Probably 10 feet. He might have taken a step forward.
Okay. I would like to cast Fairy Fire on him. But it says each object in a 20-foot cube range is outlined. I make it purple light.
Okay.
And any creature in the area is outlined if it fails the dexterity saving throw. So he's got to make a dex save of 19 or higher. But I'm wondering, because it's a 10-foot radius, I would like to also get the dragons if I can also see them, like through the vines, if the vines are expanding. Like a 20 by 20 by 20 yeah. foot cube. Can I get them all?
Let's see. Yeah, I think so. Because if you put it right where he is, right on his square, and then go backwards, I think you could reasonably do it.
I would like them all to make that dex save, and whoever fails, we have advantage again.
So the guy in front fails, one of the dragons fails, and then the other dragon succeeds.
Okay. If I'm looking at the guy, is it left dragon or right dragon succeeds?
Left dragon succeeds.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Everyone has advantage on these guys. They're like got a nice neon purple glow behind them, so super easy to see. Just kind of look around. What's going on? Who is he? Who invited him? That's the end of my turn. Oh, can I bonus action hide?
Yeah.
Okay. Do I need to make a stealth roll for that?
No.
Okay.
What was just grabbed? A purple glowy light thing. And then an arrow hits a tree in the area that you're in. That tree starts to come to life, and the arrow starts to melt away into the tree, and the tree starts, you know, coming alive, and is now an awakened tree. I'm gonna roll some initiative for awakened tree. There's no way of determining where precisely the arrow came from, but you have a direction. Then it'll go on to Remissa's turn.
What direction did it come from?
Behind you.
Like, not by the guy?
Yeah, behind where you are.
Can I look, or is my turn over?
I mean, you can look, but...
Do I see anything?
No.
Oh, I love that.
All right.
So, did he just shoot an arrow at you guys?
Did he get someone else?
Okay, so who are we fighting? Weird, creepy tree man, or, like, is there someone else?
Yes.
Cool!
He missed all of those, yeah.
Who's beat up? Anyone take any significant damage here?
I haven't been touched at all.
I think none of us have taken damage, I think.
Okay, well, then what I'm going to do is I am... Ooh, I'm a little unsure of what to do in this situation here. I'm not sure what this weird guy is. People are shooting arrows at us. The dragons are all sort of contained. I think I'm going to hold an action and just keep a very simple healing word ready for the next person who takes damage.
Okay, that's cool. I guess the next person's turn is Typhoon.
Yes. You see Typhoon kind of yawns, and he's like, oh god, why am I so tired? Okay, it's time to go all out, everybody. And then as a bonus action, I'm going to put on my aspect of the worm. And I'm gonna activate Frightful Presence. This person in front of me, I'm gonna force him to make a wisdom saving throw or become frightened. DC 19.
All right. He fails that. He is frightened, but he sort of backs up towards the tree as much as he can without actually moving.
And as a free action, it says I can use Explosive Fury. So any number of creatures I can see that was within my aura, which is him that I'm choosing. Oh, I know it says each of the creatures. So if anybody's next to me, I'm sorry. It'll make a dex save, DC 19.
All right.
I count. Hooray.
He fails that one as well.
All right.
I unfortunately fail as well.
Oh, no. You'll only take half damage, I believe, because of evasion. Yay, monks. So I got to go to the thing. I'm going to take 3d10. Is it 3d10? Sorry, I'm looking at it again. Yeah, 3d10. And I'm choosing lightning damage again. That is 20 lightning damage, 10 for Sirocco.
Okay, yeah, he takes the damage.
As I get hit, I'm like, stop doing that.
Sorry, it's kinda, and, I can't control it.
Yeah.
And that is going to be my turn.
Logan, it is you.
Okay. I just got shocked with electricity. I did not like that, and I get angry, so I start to rage. So as a bonus action, I start raging. I'd reach out for this guy who we're attacking, and I want to try and grapple him. So can he do an opposed grapple check for me?
Sure.
An either athletics or acrobatics check on his end.
All right.
And I have advantage on all athletic checks on my end because I am raging.
He rolled an 8.
Well, I rolled a, let's see, what is that? 12, 17, 28. So I have him grappled.
All right. Yeah.
So his speed is 0 and all that fun stuff. Okay, so what I'm going to do now, and you're going to tell me how you want to do this, because he's about my size, right?
Yeah.
I want to start flapping my wings and bringing him into the air.
Okay. You are unimpeded in that. You're just dragging him up. He actually looks kind of like happy you're doing this as he looks down at Typhoon with like a fearful glare, like he's down there, we're going up, that's cool.
So I fly up the 70 feet of movement that I have.
All right.
And I let him go. I'm assuming he can't fly. I don't know if he can or cannot fly, but I'm assuming he can't.
He begins to fall. Yeah, he's just falling all the way down to the ground. He hits the ground. Yeah, he's going to take, what is it? It's 7d6.
Yep.
Bludgeoning damage.
Yep. Welcome to how I built this character. I get angry, I pick things up, and then I drop them.
I support this. Yeah.
So by the way, you also healed 9 points of damage when you took damage from that electric deck.
Nice. So I'm almost at full again.
Because of my held healing action.
Yeah.
So he takes 27 points of bludgeoning damage. Yeah, blindsiding. And yeah, just plummets into the ground. Is there anything else you want to do, can do?
I've used all my movement and my bonus action. I do have one extra attack, but I can't do anything. I should have, like, punched him before I let him go. Oh, well.
Punch. Oh, all right.
That's not how things work. That's then my turn.
All right. The awakened tree is going to go next. Yeah, it starts lurching over towards where the guy was, and sort of looks up as he falls onto the ground, and the tree punches him.
That's cool. Huh?
We drop the guy to the ground, and the tree walks up.
The tree succeeds at punching. He takes 3d8 bludgeoning damage. takes 18 points of damage as a tree comes over and punches him. That's the tree's turn. And then we go back around to Steph.
Seeing that the tree is the good guy, I'm just going to look in the direction of where the arrow came and just, thanks, and turn my attention back to this guy. I am going to cast... Sorry, be close for these things. I want to hurt the tree. The tree's a good guy. How the dragon's looking?
Oh, still just in there. The web of vines hasn't expanded anymore.
Okay, so they're still contained. I'm gonna summon a beast.
Alright.
And it's a level at fourth level. And I'm gonna get a little wolf.
Okay.
And I'm gonna send it to attack this guy.
Alright.
I'm just gonna give a little like, and this wolf kind of materializes next to me. And it's gonna point at the guy. And then my bestial spirit takes its turn right after mine.
Okay.
This is, it's a concentration spell, so the outlines on the guys dropped.
Okay.
We don't have an advantage on those guys anymore. Maybe. And I'm gonna try and get my wolf to chomp.
Okay.
Would you consider the tree an ally? Common enemy?
Yeah.
Cool. This beast has advantage on an attack roll against a creature if at least one of its allies is within 5 feet.
Okay.
Cool. So I get two attacks because it's fourth level. And let me see. How do I roll the hit with this guy? Andrew, how do I figure out what do I roll to hit? Spell modifier to hit?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And then just a regular d20. What's that?
Gonna make a chomp. Chomp number one. Ooh. Natural one for a six.
That's not gonna get it, no?
Yeah, definitely just chomps at the air. And they say, no, the one on the ground there. And the next one is a 12.
That also misses, yeah.
And you just hear teeth snapping together. They say, no, the cat, okay, we'll work on it. Bonus action hide.
All right, and it is Ermissa is next.
All right, since it seems that weird, creepy tree guy that's throwing pendulums at people for some reason is our chosen enemy. I'm gonna cast Blight on him.
Okay.
It's a constitution save of 19.
They fail that.
All right. I pull out a small little pistol that I keep, aim it at him, pull a trigger, it fires this dense black beam, and then he looks quite a bit worse. Taking, this will take me just a second, 8d8 worth of damage. 32 damage.
Yeah, that's not any fun. No. As a result of this, though, there is a bright light now with 30 feet around this person. But other than that, he just looks like that hurt a lot.
Yeah. I'm getting a little worried here, gang. I don't know what this guy is, but we've just smacked the crap out of him and did our characteristic drop him from 70 feet in the air on his head, which is the ultimate pile driver, and he's still fine, apparently?
Listen, I don't understand what's happening. We got transported to a magical forest by a god, and this dude is just taking all of our, like, attacks. Does anything make sense to anyone?
No, although I don't think it made sense from the beginning for me.
So, we're gonna do a whole lot of things in the space in between your turn and Typhoon's turn. The vines start to recede and fall, and you see that now that the vines are falling and the light is coming out, you see that the dragons are moving inside of the thing, but very, very slowly. And as the vines disappear, you see Laurie again standing there in front of the vines, and he looks at the person on the ground and shakes his head in confusion as to what's going on with that person, and says, "This spell only works for so long, and when it ends, they're free. I don't know who that person is or who the other person is." And you look behind you, and the forest looks like it shrinks, and the trees move, and you see a person standing there with a bow and arrow just in the open right next to you. But the fight that they're having decides whether magic exists in this world or not. And everything that I have here exists because of magic. So I can only suggest that you kill the gold dragon. But the decision is yours when the time comes. And you have now 2 rounds of combat until the time stop ends.
Are these guys metaphors? I'm pointing at the guy that we've been beating on and the guy who's shooting the arrow. Metaphors for dragons? Is that what this is?
I can only assume that their actions are to stop you from intervening in their fight. Why they care, I don't know. And he says, but there's another person here. And they were hiding rather well. And he points his hand out, and a bunch of geometric shapes form out of light. And they all start cracking and breaking. And you see a person that Hermissa recognizes. You know this person as an apprentice that you took on for making artifacts and things of that nature. And this person ties closer to your secret than you would like. And yeah, they were just hiding in plain sight. You can see them just standing there, sort of, you know, huddled by a tree. And they have a book, heavy book, in their hand. And they walk forward and they say, well, it's nice to see you again. How long has it been since you cursed my name? Do you, I guess, respond to this person?
I have no idea what the hell is going on. Is the entire world ending right now? And did we start it?
All I know is that we were in a temple, then we were in a town, and now we're in a forest. That's all I know, and I don't know what to do with that information. And people are throwing things. There's a guy with arrows.
Don't forget the dragons.
There's dragons.
They're battling to see if magic will exist or not. Wait, aren't dragons magic? Why are they fighting about it?
Wait, why is anyone doing anything? Like, what? I'm confused. I just want to punch something. That's my decision.
I agree.
I'm just going to hold steady and try to figure this out. I feel like we're ants trapped between two different boots.
I'm just muttering to myself, gold dragon, gold dragon, gold dragon, gold dragon, gold dragon.
You have the 2 rounds to do stuff before dragons are free. If you want to do any sort of preparation for that, cast any spells, move to places.
How far are the dragons from us?
So where you were punching the person, they're like 15 feet from.
Oh, wow, that's super close.
Yeah.
Typhoon just goes, God said kill the gold dragon, so I guess I'll kill the gold dragon. You see Typhoon he takes a deep breath, and as he's breathing in, you hear rolling thunder coming from, it seems like, its mouth, and then you just see him lurch forward and open his mouth, and he shoots a beam of lightning from his mouth at the gold dragon. And I'm augmenting it, so it's actually a 90-foot line that's 5 feet wide. Okay. And yeah, I'm throwing it down, shooting at the dragon's face.
So it hits the area around the dragons and passes through there and hits the dragon. Go ahead and roll damage for that.
You tell me. He said it's moving slowly, so I don't know if the deck save would count or not.
Oh, yeah, no, it doesn't save at all. Yeah, it's stuck.
Okay, so that's 27 points of lightning to its face.
As that hits, the dragons start moving in full speed.
Oh, crap. That was the wrong thing to do. Sorry, y'all.
The effects of time stop wear off on just the gold dragon at first, and then the other dragon as the gold dragon completes its hitting it that it was attempting to do the entire time. And now both the dragons are fighting each other and right in front of you. So they sort of, you know, crash into each other as they try to hit each other. And they're floating in the air there in front of you. Anyone else, I guess, now that we're here, I'll just call this a surprise round. And then we can fight.
Guess it seems that we're going to focus on the gold dragon. So I want to fly up to its face and start going full JoJo Bizarre's Adventure fist punching it.
All right.
So I'm going to attack with my astral arms. Does a 26 hit?
That hits, yeah.
Okay, so the gold one will take 10 force damage. I attack again. That's a 26 to hit.
That hits, yeah.
That will be 11 more force damage. Third attack, it's a 21 to hit.
That hits too, yeah.
And 8 force damage. And then to fully JoJo this bizarre adventure, I will do a Fury of Blows as a bonus action to get 2 more attacks.
All right.
That will be a 29 to hit.
That hits, yeah.
Ooh, max damage, 15 force damage.
Right.
And 1 more attack, 20 to hit.
That hit.
Okay, last one, 11 force damage. So I just full bird rage, go up to this guy and just astral right into his face.
You punch the dragon.
Ooh, now I can finally say I punched the dragon in the face. Yeah. Add that to my resume.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else before we go?
I'm going to hold further actions because I don't burn through all of my spells in case I need to get some of my allies up.
I'm going to hurl a fireball at it with reduced flame, if I can do that.
Okay.
That's a 29 to hit.
That hits, yeah.
The gold dragon.
Yeah.
15 points of fire damage.
It does not look like it takes any damage.
Oh, no. That's my only good cantrip for that.
We'll go back to Steph again, I guess. Still at the top of initiative.
Well, shoot. Seeing that that didn't really work. Is there any metal on the dragon?
No.
All I had was fire and concentration things. But I have a dog. I don't want to lose to concentration. Alright. Can I reach the dragon if I were to run to it? Oh, I'm a fairy. Yeah, I can fly. Yeah. I want to fly up to the dragon.
Alright.
I'm going to cast Primal Savagery. My fingernails grow long and pointed. They start to drip acid. My teeth grow into fangs. And I'm going to try and make a slash at the side of the dragon.
Alright.
That is a 31 to hit.
That definitely hits, yeah.
That's 14 points of acid damage.
Yep. Yeah.
And then can I bonus action disengage?
Yep.
Ooh, squeaky chair. And then my doggo is gonna go and make... Oh wait, dragon's up in the air. Dog on the ground.
Yeah.
My dog is gonna see that I'm fighting the dragon. And he's gonna run up and just, like, look up at us and then just sit down and wag his tail. He's ready. He wants to help, but he doesn't know what to do.
All right. Next is her missus' turn. Twice.
Okay. Turning my attention towards the dragon, since a god told us to, god can't be wrong. I'm fairly certain about that. Or am I? I'm not sure anymore. I'm going to unleash a fairly simple Melf's Acid Arrow at it, and that is a 27 to hit.
That hits, yeah.
Okay. That'll take 12 damage, acid damage to be specific, and that will conclude my turn.
All right. It is Typhoon's turn.
But he's flying towards, so I guess I will too. I'm going to spend a key point as a bonus action. I'm going to do my wings unfurled for Step of the Wind, and I will gain a flying speed just until the end of my turn, and I will fly up to the dragon. And I'm going to punch it. That's what monks do. And here we go. It's going to be a 25 to hit.
Hit.
All right. I'm going to augment the strike for lightning damage again because I love it. 11 points of lightning damage to it.
Yeah.
We're going to attack once more. 22 to hit.
Okay, that hits.
Another 14 points of lightning damage.
Right.
And I'm going to land on its neck or something, like on it, because like I'm in the sky.
Okay.
So, I'm just gonna, like, as my wings go away, I'm just gonna drop down onto the dragon. No, this is probably a bad spot. It's my turn.
All right, it is going to be the gold dragon's turn. The gold dragon has, you know, noticed the attacks, but its focus hasn't shifted from the other dragon. And so around the other dragon, like a cloud of darkness, just pitch black darkness appears. And these little bright light pockets start popping up in there. And then you hear them start going off like fireworks. That occurs. The dragon slowly starts to descend back to the ground, to land, as that's happening. With his hand out, the person with the pendulum disappears as this big, giant dragon claw sort of waves in his direction. He disappears. And, that's his turn. Then it will be Logan's turn.
I don't know what just happened. I don't like it, but I'm still angry, and there's still a dragon in front of me, so I'm going to punch it. Yes. Natural 20!
That's awesome.
I don't know if that really doesn't do much anything special, except it is cool. It is a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
I want to check something real quick, because can I use... you gave us some magic items, and I have my Blood Fury tattoo.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can do that. Okay, so this is an option. Can I apply... It lets me do an extra 4d6 necrotic damage if I hit a creature, if I spend a charge. Since it's a crit, do I get to double those as well?
Yes.
Oh, snap. Okay. So we're doing 8d6. Excuse me as I find d6s. I'm old school and rolling with real dice. Okay. Thankfully, I have them all here. So takes 9 force damage. So write that down. Oh, wait. I get to roll that dice again. So 9. Dang it. 11 force damage total. And then, let's see. 12, 18, 26, 31, 32 necrotic damage as my Blood Fury tattoo starts to rage around my body, and I punch him hard and cause one of my charges to go off and damage this guy.
All right. That has a more impactful effect on the dragon's disposition to you. And the dragon looks at you. Looking at the dragon, now looking at you, your full size, it normally is about the height of its eyeball.
I do a big sting punch. That's only my first punch. As I have his attention, I like do a full like stare down at him, get my astral hands ready, and I'm gonna punch him again.
Nice.
That is a 27 to hit.
That hits.
Minimum damage of 6 force damage. Mm-hmm. Gonna hit him again. Ooh, I don't think a 13 will hit.
No.
Well, I will spend a key point to do some Fury of Blow action here. 17, I don't think hits. Okay. And I rolled another 17. Well, all the fun and fury was in the beginning, guys. All
right. That will... Do you have anything else?
I've done action. I've done bonus action. I will still, like, huffing and puffing from trying to punch him. I want to fly back down to the ground.
Okay.
I want to land so I'm kind of by everyone again.
Okay. So that will bring us back around to Steph.
Okay. I realized I have one other cantrip to try, and maybe it'll do the opposite of nothing. I have Frostbite.
No.
So I'm going to cast that on Gold Dragon. I'm going to also back myself up because I already disengaged.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put a little more distance between us because this is a 60-foot range. And Dragon's got to succeed on a Constitution save of 21 or higher.
Okay. Nope.
All right.
Very close.
18 points of cold damage.
All right. Yeah.
Does it look like it do something?
Yeah. Yeah, that hits.
All right.
Icy cold.
Dragons are still off the ground?
One of them has landed, but the other one is in like a...
Is the gold dragon on the ground?
Yeah.
Gold dragon's down.
Yes.
Pupper's gonna run up and like bite its toe or something because I know they're huge.
Nice.
It's just like a wolf.
Yeah.
That's a 13 to hit. Just another loud chomp. Nothing happening. Come on, buddy. That's a 22 to hit.
That hits.
Heck yeah. Go, Popper. All right. Dragon takes a whopping 11 points of damage. No. Of piercing damage.
No, that toe was well bit.
And he kind of bites on and just goes like, and shakes his head a little bit. He's so excited to finally be helping. He like looks at me like, did you see that, Dad? I got him. I want to reach into like my pocket and just like toss him a piece of kibble. Nice. A little treat.
All right. Yeah, that brings us to Ermissa's neck. And
I am trying to play my spells a little on the conservative side, but there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of point in holding back. So I am going to cast one more Blight at 4th level on the dragon, which is a 19 constitution save.
Okay. It is a fail. Okay.
And this time it takes 49 damage.
It's quite a lot of damage. That sort of hits the dragon, and it is shaken by that, as if it's like not, you know, a thing it expected to happen. As it has this shaken feeling, you see a moment where it starts to dissipate, like the dragon's fading out of, you know, being where you are, and then it refocuses. Is there anything else you want to do?
Nope. Not a whole lot of bonus actions that the artificer gets. Not too much special here. And I seem to be positioned well enough, so I'm going to stay put where I'm at.
All right. So after that occurs, the like circle of darkness that has the other dragon enwrapped in it breaks. And the dragon that's in there comes out. And you see the same sort of geometric shape things happening around the gold dragon. And then they close in, and the gold dragon, you know, falls to the ground. And the dragon looks towards all of you, and the gold dragon disappears, and the geometric shapes break. And the bigger dragon begins to speak and says, "Divine magic has ruled for as long as I have been around. They trapped me in that temple without name, not knowing who I was, for wanting to give the gift of magic to people. You have helped me give it back to people, so I will leave. You are in control now of what happens to this world. Divine intervention shall never happen again. The gods are no more." And Ilari, where he was standing, is a tree. And and the dragon sort of fades out the same way with these sort of geometric shapes.
I'm going to try and shoot a fireball at the dragon before he goes, seeing that my dad is a tree now.
Yeah. All right.
Can I try and do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a 29 to hit.
That hits.
I mean, I don't know how much the fire will do, but it's 17 fire damage.
It hits. And you can see the recognition that it hit the dragon. And as the dragon disappears, it sort of nods. You hit me. It's fair. So the dragon is gone. And the forest that you're in is not a forest anymore. As the dragon fades, you're in the town center. And the tree is still there in the town center. And the destruction has somewhat subsided in this place, and people are starting to, you know, come back. And the people that were trapped in the tree are now huddled in a building underneath like a foyer type area. And the tree ant is not there standing guard anymore, but they're all huddled there. And the book you saw in the temple, it flutters sort of in your general direction. And instead of being a book when it gets to you, it's a person. And person says that the secret of the god of the arcane's name was trapped in that temple. And some cultists figured it out. And by naming the god, he was free. And leads to, you know, the destruction and havoc that happened here. And he continues to try to talk, but then he's a book again and falls to the floor. And It doesn't appear that the book is magical anymore. It just appears like a normal book on the ground, hovering, or nothing is happening to it. That's where you are. Yes, is there anything we want to do before we end this session?
Wait, gods are dead? Is that a thing?
Yes.
Oh.
Maybe we killed the wrong dragon.
Well, I mean, overall, I will say Shirako is very confused. He doesn't really understand what just happened, and he is not sure he's ready to live with the consequences of killing all the gods?
Yeah. Grem's just gonna fall down at the base of his tree death, and he's just, like, shaking, upset, and just, like, over and over. You set the gold dragon! You set the gold dragon! He's just kind of stuck. What the heck, Andrew?
Anything else?
I'm just shocked at what happened here, so my character's a little bit frozen in terror because she doesn't know what the consequences of these actions are.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we're in a situation where we were just told a big thing happened by, and now we're like, but how? But what?
Hey, guys. So now, did we screw it up forever? Like, literally everything?
I have a distinct feeling that that is a good possibility. Let's walk away from this and pretend we have nothing to do with it.
I like that idea.
I might be a hero, but no one says I have to be responsible! And I flap my wings and decide to get out of town.
My dad's a tree. My dad's a tree. My dad's a tree. My dad's a tree.
I turn around and I grab you, and I'm like, you can contemplate his death later!
Can I fly off into the sunset?
Hey guys, I've got teleport. Who wants to get away to somewhere that definitely isn't here and is nicer?
I mean, yeah, go for it.
I teleport us to Tropical Island that I've been to before, I'm sure.
Nice.
That's a trick.
We gotta figure out how to make him stop saying that. But yeah, let's get out of here.
Specifically, I transport us to a bar on a tropical island that I've been to before.
Nice.
We need to have alibis and witnesses to our presence. We were here the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking back. I never got to use it, but I have the Horn of Valhalla, which makes me summon a bunch of berserkers. I have plenty of witnesses. Plenty of people who can claim they saw me within a 1 hour time period, so that's all we have to worry about.
Nice. Yes, yeah, we're good. We're good.
Who's gonna know? Who's gonna try and kill us? A god?
Huh. Grem looks at him and goes,
oh, too soon. I'm sorry. Here, let's go get a drink and try and lead us to the bar on this island.
All right. Yeah. I think that's it. I think that's all I got. Yeah. Mm, yeah.